two coordinators out today for the Commanders. Joe Witt, a technicality, formality, just some paperwork drying at that point. We knew that was coming down the pike for months. But the big story is that Cliff Kingsbury is no longer the OC after 2 years here in Washington. Let's go to the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV, and talk to our buddy John Keim of ESPN.com. John, obviously, over the last several days, this became increasingly likely. It looked like a divorce was possible. But let's go back even before that. Like, if I would have said this was going to happen 2 weeks ago, how surprised would you have been?
I would have been surprised just because we know that the issues this year were not, I mean, were injuries on offense. Like, you can't lose your quarterback for as much as you lost him, and then your top receiver, and then two of your top three receivers for as much time as they missed them, and that, and your starting running back, and have a similar kind of offense. So, you know, I think people understood that. Like, when you talk to people outside of here, and like, would Kingsbury be considered for head coaching jobs elsewhere? Like, the word was like, yeah, he might be on some lists, because I don't think teams are going to hold that against him. So, you know, you don't look at him as like, oh, he was the issue. But there were sometimes like some subtle things that you wondered about, right? Like, you know, Jaden Daniels getting hurt multiple times. Now, you can't just pin that on play calling, but this offense does allow for the quarterbacks to run a lot. Was that a factor? But then you'd hear like Quinn would kind of slip in there a little bit once in a while about wanting to run the ball more to help the defense. And sometimes it was kind of couched a little bit. Like when Ron Revere was here, it was more overt, like, got to run the ball more. And then the next week, Scott Turner would run the ball more. It wasn't quite like that, but it was a little bit more like that. You saw that evolution of it, right? But, you know, there was, so from that standpoint, I'm like, well, if that's what they want, then I could see that, but I still would have been surprised because, it wasn't the issue. You know that, like, listen, man, when you talk to the offensive players, they like this offense. They like playing for Kingsbury. There's a lot that they like about him. So, like, from that standpoint, too, and not to ramble on, but, Grant, you know, you've been around when the situation is really bad here, and when there's, like, a side of the ball where it's really bad and they're going to fire somebody, typically you're going to hear a lot of bad things about that coach or what – you know, whether it's whether it's like their play calling, you know, how the way they run the practices, no collaboration, it's whatever it is, like, you're going to hear some of that. You didn't hear that this time.
When did this go south? When was the first schism?
I don't know if there was like a line of demarcation. I don't know that, right? I don't know, like, well, it was this game that did it. I think it was just, it's, to me, it sounds like over time a general fundamental philosophical difference. But I don't know, Danny, if there's like it was after the Dallas game when he said this. And I think, I know there were some disagreements, but I don't know if there was like one, you know, and there may, you know, you hear some things, but I don't have it like enough to say if like it was this or that. But I do think it's like a fundamental difference in how they saw the future of the offense going, what they believed needed to be done. So that's how I would look at it now.
John Keim, ESPN on Grant and Danny. What's your reaction to this? This is something Danny and I have struggled with today. You hired Cliff Kingsbury.
Yeah.
Cliff Kingsbury came here.
Yeah.
Seems like some of their frustrations are with Cliff Kingsbury doing things that Cliff Kingsbury does.
Yeah.
Like, what am I missing?
I don't know. That's the number one thing that, if we had a press conference today with Dan Quinn, that's the first thing that'd be asked. Like, this is who he was when you hired him. So what happened? And the other part of that, Grant, too, is when they hired him and there was this line of succession plan, right? Like that, you know, it was a big thing that one of the things that Quinn talked about was having that, because in Atlanta, I don't think it always went the way he wanted. And the staff was supposed to provide that. And now it may be that you're going outside that. So there's a couple of things that, you know, that surprised me and all that. But the number one thing is, like you said, this is who he was. It wasn't like he got in here and changed it. But it just also may be that when you start to see some of the injuries pile up, not that the offense was responsible for that, but is there another way that you could play that would have been more effective? And in case that happens again, do you know what I mean? So it could have just been an evolution of like, you know, I thought this was for me and now it isn't.
John, anything to the idea, and I've seen a few folks speculate to this, and that's all it is. It's the usual online sort of crew, but that Cliff might have been out of here anyway, and this is more his decision because he wants to go get a head coaching job or sort of feels like things may be intractable. We sort of haven't considered the Cliff angle of this, that he might see pastures greener elsewhere. Your thoughts there?
Well, I think they termed it as a mutual parting of the ways. So I do think that that is a part of it, for sure. That, you know, and if you think that, here's the other thing, like if you know that this your boss wants you to go in a different direction that you don't want to go, and you know, first of all, and you're still making a lot of money from a team that fired you a few years ago, you have the freedom to say that's not what I want to do. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I think most of us have to stick around and say, all right, I guess I'll have to do it. But he doesn't have to. And it certainly sounds like he wants to explore other opportunities as a head coach. And you know, I think he would have to know, like, if he doesn't get that, I'm sure somebody else would hire him to be in this role. So I think it was as much like it was just starting not. It may have been hard to stick around for another year knowing that this is what the head coach wants and knowing that, well, this is what I do. So I think just that, like I said, that's kind of just the direction he wanted to take. It was just not going to work.
Here's another thing, Cakes, that I have a hard time squaring. I want to get your insight on this. Because where I'm coming from is I don't love Cliff's offense. Like, I think it has limitations. Right. But I think he did a pretty good job. And I think, like, over 2 years, the results are far from fireable, right? So that's kind of where I'm at as a backdrop. But
right.
I kind of think about this from the perspective of, to me, Dan Quinn should not be on a hot seat, should not be fired. Anybody saying that a year after the NFC Championship game is crazy. But I wonder why that isn't extended to Cliff as well. Like, outside of Daniels, in my opinion, you can make the case that the second most important person in the building for last year's success was Cliff Kingsbury. And now he's out. Why isn't he afforded that same luxury?
That's a good question, but I would just go back to the difference in the philosophical difference in how you see the offense moving forward.
Right.
So, and if it's not going to work. So the other thing too, there's a couple things here. One, this is a ballsy move by Quinn. So, you know, like, he doesn't have the luxury of, oh, if it doesn't work here, I can get another job somewhere else. Like, this is it for him. Almost assuredly, if this doesn't work. So if you have a conviction on something, I think you probably owe it to yourself to make the move, because if you don't and it goes south next year for whatever reason, then you didn't react soon enough, right? And we've seen situations here in the past where the head coach waited too long to make a move and it ended up ruining a side of the ball or the season, right? And we've seen that multiple times. The difference is, I still go back to, it's not as if the players were clamoring for this. They just weren't. So that's one of the differences. But why he's not afforded that, I just think because this is your direct boss, right? And if you both have a different thought on how to proceed with things, it's like, you know what, maybe we just shouldn't be in business together. So, I'm sure if Cliff had said, like, all right, we can do this and this and this to accommodate what you want, then he probably would still be here. That would be my guess. But I do think that, you know, there have been times in the past, again, where I think the head coach has been too slow to make a move in an area where he knows there's probably something, I wouldn't say brewing, because, again, the players liked the system. They liked Kingsbury. But maybe you feel that it's like, this is not going to work. And so, or it's not working, not going to work, whatever it is, and you're slow to make a move, and this time he wasn't.
What does this mean for Daniels? We're not that far removed from he and his mom / representative tweeting pretty positive things about Cliff Kingsbury and some comments from Daniels that were very positive towards Kingsbury. Seems like he's maybe blindsided by this to some degree. Just where does that leave him now entering year three?
So that's a good question. And it's not just Kingsbury, right? You lose Tavita Pritchard, quarterback's coach, right? Now it's Stanford. What happens to David Blau, whom he also has a good relationship with? So Daniels had a good relationship with all these coaches. Then you also wonder the effect on Marcus Mariota. He liked Kingsbury's system a lot. Now, he hadn't played in that system until last year, but he really liked a lot. Now he likes playing here. Would he come back I'm sure they'd still want him, but would he come back or would he go somewhere else to follow Kingsbury? Maybe, who knows? But so the quarterback room could look dramatically different next year for Daniels. The one thing I'll say is that, it's going to be a big change, but I don't necessarily worry about Jaden per se, just because he's been through changes in the past. He went, going from Arizona State to LSU and having to win the job there and then coming here, right? And, I don't think it takes him long to click with people. But I do think that with Kingsbury, he and Jaden had a very similar approach. Like Kingsbury, first coach in the building, get there around 3 a.m. Jaden, first player in the building, getting there around 5:30. They're doing their walkthroughs last year. It would be Jaden, Tavita, and Cliff Kingsbury around 6 a.m. in the bubble 3 days a week. So I think, you had a guy who worked similar to Jaden, both film nerds. He would text Cliff all the time, and he texted the coaches all the time about different things that he would see on film or in a game. So I think if whoever comes in here, I think you'd want to have somebody who at least works. Most of these guys work really hard, right? But who has a similar approach or style as Kingsbury, because it really worked for Jaden. But I do think that he's a guy who is adaptable as well, and I think he can play in multiple systems. So I don't necessarily worry about that, but it is a change. And I think what you realize early on in this business is that it is a business. And the other part that could help him perhaps is that CJ Stroud, a very good friend of his, went through this last year.
Yeah. Yet another link between the Texans and Washington, who have been through pretty similar recent years. John Keim of ESPN.com is with us on Grant and Danny. So you mentioned the difference in vision, which is pretty clear. It sounds like from this meeting where they're talking about what does the offense look like next year and beyond to develop Daniels. So what do you think they want it to look like? If Dan Quinn is butting heads with Kingsbury over his offense, give us an idea of what they might be searching for and who that could be.
That's a good question, because I don't know. I mean, if you want to – I know you've talked about this, and I know Brian Daboll's name is going to be out there, right? But he doesn't necessarily run a run-oriented offense. You know what I mean? His is more probably a little bit more akin to a Kingsbury style.
It would feel odd to me. To me, he's like bold Kingsbury light. You know, it's a little more NFL-like, but it's not. Yeah. You're not zigging that much from the zag to go with Daboll.
Correct. Now, the other thing is too, and this is something because I had asked Quinn this. The other day about, you always hear from people you get better at what you practice against. And this defense practiced against a unique offense and trained throughout training camp. That was the number one thing they practiced. So then when you go up against a team like the Packers, a lot of motion, a lot, that offense, right? Then you have a lot of issues because you haven't worked against that. You may have practiced, you may have prepared for it, but you haven't worked against it a lot. And so I think if you're a defensive coach, sometimes I would always wonder that, what does Quinn really think about this? Because we watch Seattle. We watch that play action, the way they run their play action game off the run game, and how much it would fool the linebackers, right? So do you want something a little bit more like that, where, is it a little bit more in the center? I know that's been a big topic. I know you talked about it, and I talked to people who are split on that. Some people think it's not that as big a deal. Some people, I'd say more who I don't want to call them old school necessarily, but who like old school football are going to be more under center types. But if you're a defensive guy like Quinn, maybe, do you want a little bit more of that to, because he even said yesterday in the press conference, or no, it was last week when asked about that, about Kingsbury's offense, about making sure the runs and the passes marry each other, right? Or match up. And when sometimes you're running the play action from the gun or the pistol, it doesn't always look the same, right? So do you want something that's a little bit more, that you can be more up-tempo, but yet maybe have some more old-school elements? And, and it's funny because, last year, we say this, and, they weren't a running – they weren't necessarily a running team last year outside of the quarterbacks, but they did control the clock because the passing game helped – do that, right? So there's more than one way to control the clock and to help your defense, and I also find when you have really good playmakers, that helps too.
And you touched on this earlier, John, but I want to go back to it. For Quinn and Peters, I mean, I know Peters made a big deal yesterday of saying, no, any coaching decision is Dan Quinn's, almost being able to wash his hands of it. But I bet you they, you know, sort of see eye to eye on a lot of stuff. It just sort of seems like they're presenting that united front as, you know, sort of simpatico minds. This is a big deal for Quinn. In other words, like you have some buyer's remorse here on a couple, one of your good buddies that you brought with you from Dallas and your handpicked OC who you pried away from the Raiders, who almost took that job. I think you used the word ballsy. That's exactly what this is to me with year three of Daniels. The fact that your handpicked guy didn't work, and it's the, you know, just by being himself, if he'd showed up and just changed type, I'd be more sympathetic, but he didn't. This is Kingsbury, who he always was and who he will be at his next stop. Go into that. What's on the line here for Quinn?
Oh, I mean, it's, I think, a lot, and because it has to work. And that's one of the things, like I said, that I would go back to, like, ballsy, risky, whatever it is, you know, see what the next chapter brings with it, because, like, that's always the key, right? Like, so it's like when you let a player go. All right, you traded this guy, you let this guy walk in free agency. What's your plan? Because the plan is always what's going to matter. Like, guys leave and go all the time. This isn't, you know, it's not the first time a guy's been, they've changed coordinators, whatever. But what's your plan, and it better work. So, you know, I would say that, because not just, I mean, it's for his sake, but it's also like you have this special talent at quarterback in Jaden Daniels. You want to maximize that. And they have talked a lot about protecting him. And one way to protect him is not not having everything be on his shoulders. I think that's some of what's at play here too. So what's at stake for him? I think it's, again, this is his second chance and is probably his last chance at success as a NFL coach, as an NFL head coach. You have to make it work. And this is a roll of the dice. And, you know, I think the last time we saw a big roll of the dice was a couple of years ago. Rivera hires Eric Bieniemy, right? Didn't work out. And it was, you know, there were a lot of other issues there. But this is, I don't know if I'd equate it to that, but it's a ballsy move. And if it doesn't work, you know, and then it's like, as far as like, you know, his future, well, then it's like, what happens with that? Does Jaden develop or not? Does the offense develop or not? There's still going to be a long way to go with this, for sure. And as Grant, you said, like, Kingsbury's offense was not for everybody. And even people who liked it, it's like, yeah, I don't mind it, but, you know, and there's some people who really like it a lot. So,
it feels like this could work out.
Have to see where the next guy is. Yeah,
it could be an upgrade, but I just am always hesitant when it's pretty good.
Grass ain't always greener.
You know, we'll see. It is a ballsy. I love that. It's bold. This is a huge kickoff to the offseason. They're rolling the dice here.
And I think, too, also, you know, they fired Bobby Johnson, their old line coach. And so there's another one. And
what did that signify to you? That was odd to me.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, that would signify, like, you know, maybe you have an idea of who's coming in, and you know, like, I think that's kind of what it tells me. But that was a little bit of a surprise. I'd heard that there may be some movement there, and then it happened. So that did surprise me a little bit. But then there were sometimes you talk to other people, like, well, you know, was it always clean with what they were doing? But I don't know if it ever is always clean. You know what I mean? So with in terms of run blocking assignments, whatever. But that's like, I'm not an O-line expert. But I forgot my train of thought here. But yeah, it's, you know.
Let me let you out on this one more, because we have not mentioned Joe Witt really on the show much at all. And this was a long time coming. But on the DC thing, yesterday you're in the presser and Quinn says something to the effect of he's keeping an open mind in these exit interviews to the possibility of maybe calling his own plays. There are actually going to be some really high-end coordinating options on defense. Do you think there's a legit chance that they don't bring in one of those big names and that Quinn is actually calling his own plays, as you said, in this huge kind of make-or-break-it year for him?
I would be surprised if he did that, because it really hasn't been what he's wanted to do. And I do think there will be some candidates out there that he has ties to who I think could be pretty good. I know Raheem's going to be mentioned a lot, but Jeff Ulbrich, who was also with him in Atlanta, did a good job as a Jets D coordinator. Still employed by Atlanta, but like once you get someone new in there, he may not be. So, you know, I think that's one certainly that would be worth watching too. But there are other candidates out there. you know, the Jim Schwartz, you know, Brian Flores isn't signed yet. Would they want to come work for a defensive minded head coach that doesn't always, some of those guys are so established, they may not want that. So we'll see, but there are some good, strong candidates, and I would be surprised if he stuck with that. It just doesn't seem like that's what he's wanted to do. And the other thing I was going to say on offense, the other thing that's going to help with whatever change that quarter, you know, whatever change with the coordinator, they have to be healthy and they have to add another weapon or two. Like, that's going to help quite a bit as well. And Jaden being healthy, like, any coordinator is going to come in and look pretty good if he's healthy and they add another weapon.
John, appreciate you as always, man, especially on a busy day. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, be good. Go read his work. John Keim, ESPN.com, joining us on Grant and Danny.